you. We fall back tonight, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it is?
You know what?
All right,
I don't know. Been floating around my head.
Yeah.
Don't forget to fall back. Not that's a church announcement, but yeah, that's in my head.
Yeah. So, yeah. Let's see, show up work an hour early on Monday. Yeah, yeah, that that would be bad. No kidding. Sorry. Didn't say that. Did I say that loud?
Yeah.
Kidding. Anyway, yeah, it's just the presence of God is just, it's just amazing. And, you know, the great thing about, I don't know, I'm kind of going to go off here a little bit tonight. But, oh, I also want to thank everybody who worked at Linda's house today.
Oh, that's what it was. Linda's
yeah,
house.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody did a great job. Thanks again, everybody who did that. Thanks again.
They did a lot.
Yeah, we did a lot of stuff. And Linda, I was teasing Linda. She was like, well, I just don't want to do it. I want to sound mean. And I said, you know what? When I get to church, I'm going to tell everybody Linda's been mean. She, like, worked us like dogs.
Yeah.
So she's not here to defend herself. She's kind of feeling it because she was kind of, you know, pointing and doing stuff. So anyway, Linda's mean. Linda, no, she's not. I'm kidding. But anyway, I just had to tease her. So,
yeah.
But anyway, thank you again. It was a huge blessing. There's just some things that she just couldn't get done herself. And it was just, yeah, it was a huge blessing. So it was, because I was a little bit concerned. I think some of the other guys, we were all concerned about when we got, well, on the way over, it was all rainy and yucky. And then right when we got there, it stopped. So I'm like, praise the Lord. So it was good. I'm like, phew. So, and it was actually pretty decent. So, weather. I just feel like going to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. I don't know why. We're just going to go there. And tonight, talk about some things of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at verse 10. I don't know. I'm just... There's always something stirring in me. I'm always thinking of a scripture. I'm always thinking of something. You know, something's always happening. And that's what you want. You want the Word in you so you can meditate on things. But, you know... Ephesians 6, let's just see where we go tonight. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord and in the power of what? His might. Now, that just kind of stuck with me. I wasn't really meditating on that, but it just kind of came to me now. But finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. How many of us are doing things in our own flesh?
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to a guy, and he said something really interesting, and talking about how we, and this wasn't even Christian or anything, but it is a really interesting statement. He was talking about things in life that disappointments come and mistakes come out of frustration. And where is frustration birthed at? It's because we don't have a breakthrough, there's a wall, we're trying to do things in our own flesh. Now, there's a balance there where, you know, right when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, it'll be, well, 29 years in a month or two, I'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit for 29 years. So every day praying in tongues on a consistent basis. It's just next December will be 30 years of speaking in tongues. I've been in a Spirit-filled church since, you know, I was really young. But, back then, some of the concepts that I had, which were really kind of, you know, you're thinking that God's going to do everything for you, right? And you're thinking that I'm going to pray, and there is a praying things out, but you know that Jesus had to get out among the people and actually do things, right?
Yeah.
So there's a balance. We see Luke chapter 4 where he's baptized with the Holy Spirit. The power comes upon him, but there's also things that we need to do. And sometimes, you know, I'd read about all these faith giants and things like that, and they'd be praying for, you know, a monstrous amount of hours, and that's good. But there's a balance, and Jesus said the word and the spirit to the woman at the well, right? And so there's always a balance on these things, but I think it comes back to relying on him and being strong in his might and in his ability. That means what we're doing it in his ability. And so also, you know, we look at... And I just, There's so many Christians and so many people, they're not even going to the Lord. They're not relying on the Holy Spirit. They think that this has all passed away and it's all gone and there's nothing left anymore and all we have is the Bible, which is the Bible is fabulous. But again, the Bible is a roadmap to a person. It's not to be worshipped. It's not to be, it's to help us connect with Jesus and have a better understanding of his way, the way he thinks, understanding a person. And the problem I have with theology is enough theology to choke a mule, but theology studies gives us information about God, but I want to know him personally. And theology, what it does, it stands outside and it looks like in a fishbowl. It examines things from a third person. I want to be engaged with God. I want to be active with him. And too many people, they don't have the expectation. We talked about 1 John 5:14-15. 1 John 5:14-15. And in fact, well, keep your place there in Ephesians. And let's not go there. Let's go to, let's see here. Where do I want to go next? Actually, let's read verse 11 and then want to go to another place. Verse 11 talks about putting on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And there's a putting on. It's not just I'm reading a little self-help thing today or, you know, that I'm, you know, got to put on physical armor or anything. But what it means is this, that we're beginning to put ourselves on. We're clothing ourselves with the Holy Spirit. We are clothing ourselves with him. We're clothing ourselves with a person. And we're cognizant of that person, the Holy Spirit, in everything that we do. It was really interesting. I was just kind of meditating on some things. And I thought, you know, if we're wanting to hear from God, and kind of revelation, I was kind of just meditating on and thinking about these things. You know, sometimes we have all these voices in our head and we're trying to figure out what to do next. And one of the things that, you know, just spending time with the Holy Spirit, and you know, the Holy Spirit really just kind of had used an avenue to speak to me. And he said, you know, when you're praying and you're believing for something, an answer or anything, and you hear his noise, step back and say, in the name of Jesus, every voice, because the Bible talks about there is voice without signification. What it means is this, that there is a voice. That we can have demonic voices around us. We can have, you know, our mind thinking about some silly song. Or we got all of this inundation in our mind. We begin to come back and say, in the name of Jesus, I cast every voice down except for that of the Holy Spirit and King Jesus. And let him speak to us. Take command over your mind in the spirit realm. And that's beginning to put on the whole armor of God. And we see here, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Somebody else have that in a different translation? What do you have that? Ephesians 6:12.
For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places.
That's good. So, see, we're not. Somebody else have a different translation? Yeah, what do you have in the Amplified? Okay, we got time for that.
Let's, okay.
Let me sit down. Yep. And I'm going to make a little sidetrack here. You know, we always think the problems in the world are, you know, because of the Garden of Eden. And that's part of it. But do you realize how many rebellions have happened throughout the Word? And we had the rebellion in the garden. We had the fallen angels in Genesis chapter 6, which caused all of the issues. The Greeks called them Titans. I know the Mesopotamians talk about them at that time period. So all of these other cultures talk about this. So what we've got is we've got all of these, you know, entities that have died that are out, you know, disembodied members, which many people, scholars believe that it's demons. So we've got that to contend with. We've got the Tower of Babel, which was an absolute disaster, another rebellion against God. We're going to see more rebellions in you know, the tribulation, right? There's going to be massive, you know, massive rebellion. Once we go into the millennium, the devil's going to be locked up for 1,000 years. At the end of the millennium, there's going to be another uprising again. So we've got this trail of carnage that we've been dealing with since, you know, Adam and Eve until now. And then before that, we have the rebellion in heaven, right? And then, you know, a third of the angels are cast out of heaven. So we've got all of this carnage throughout, you know. Most Jews and Hebrews look at the entire picture, where we as Christians, we look at, well, the fall of the Garden of Eden. Well, when actually there's all of this spiritual carnage all over the place. That's why we're seeing here in chapter 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against rulers in the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is garbage all over the place that, thank God, when we step, whether if we take our last breath or we're raptured, everything, we don't have to put up with this anymore. But between now and then, we're going to have to deal with things. And what is the main thing that Jesus dealt with in with demons? This isn't a demon, but the demons want to inhabit something, right? They want to inhabit your body. They want to inhabit your mind. They want a place of refuge. Do not give them that place of refuge. Do not give them that place of refuge. And we're going to go on how to combat this is verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the day, in the evil day. Now, there's going to be an evil day, right? I mean, if we live long enough, I mean, we're going to lose family members, right? Just because, you know, God said there in Genesis chapter 6, I'm not going to strive with man much longer. Meaning, your days are cut to 120, maximum. So, you know, we got people living, you know, almost a millennium back then. So at some point, there's going to be an evil day, right? And people, well, I just rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Well, really, Jesus had some pretty downer days too. And he's the Son of God. So guess what? Buckle up. There's going to be things, but we've got a way out of this thing. We got somebody on our side. And then it says, stand the evil day, and having done all to stand, what's your job? To stand. Right? Yeah. To stand in him. Not to figure everything out. You know? Yeah. Now, we do need, God does give us gray matter, but between our ears, but you know, we need to rest in him. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. There's not a lot of truth out there, is there? You watch TV. I can't stand to watch the news or anything because it's just propaganda from the enemy. I mean, I just remember, you know, listening to Lester Sumrall with, you know, Smith Wigglesworth. And, you know, Lester brought in he was doing some missions, and he was during World War II. He was over in England where, you know, Smith's at, brought in a newspaper, and Smith Wigglesworth just had a fit. Get that doctrine of devils out of my blah, blah, blah. Just really railed him. So he set it out. He had his hat and his umbrella and his newspaper and everything else too. And he said, get that thing out of here. I don't even want that in my house, right? Because he was so focused on it. It doesn't mean we don't, you know, shouldn't know what's going on. I'm not. They're saying that, but it just means that he was so focused on keeping his mind renewed and void of garbage. So again, having our girls loins with truth. Nowadays, truth is subjective, right? What was truth 15 years ago is no longer truth now,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, we, ever since Adam and Eve, we've known there's men and there's women, right? And now we've got 32 flavors of whatever, you know, it's like we've adhered to the Baskin-Robbins doctrine of genders here, right? So we're going to stick with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Why is it important to have righteousness? Because righteousness is the revelation of you are correctly positioned with God. Right? It doesn't mean I've earned anything. You look through the Bible and you see God called who? We see there in, and in fact, we can just, let me just turn there really quick to Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. Be encouraged tonight. Amen? There's just junk going on. Let's look at Hebrews 11, 7. Well, let's look at 6. I love 6. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is. You know, that's an elementary truth. It sounds like just really simple. But, you know, God, the Bible really doesn't spend any time proving that God's real. You notice that? Yeah. It's just the assumption, right? I mean, it's like if you're not a complete moron, you know, and you just, you know, I mean, you got an IQ above 10 and you're breathing, you should be able to kind of figure this out, right? Well, and then he goes on here and he says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So a couple of things to have faith is, number one, we got to believe that God's real and we're actively pursuing him. Well, why isn't God doing something for me? Well, are you pursuing him, right? Here we go, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir, here we go, of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah was not born again. Why was he presented with righteousness? Is because God positioned him there because of obedience. Everything that we have in righteousness as believers is given to us because we believe. That's it. You don't earn squat. It's because you are doing your part and walking after the word. Right? John chapter 3, which is also in the book Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 20, says that we're saved by faith, but we're condemned if we believe not. What that means is we're brought into this thing because of faith, because we believe him. Because we believe those things, we can be saved. If we don't believe, then we're not righteous. Righteousness is something that God positions us because we have faith towards him. And you look throughout all of this 11, were these people perfect? Absolutely not. Right? You read Abraham and you cringe a little bit. You read about David and you're like, you know, you're like Solomon, everything starts off great, and then you got like 600 wives and, you know, 300 concubines. It's like, come on. Really? I mean, they're getting off there. There's things, but God does say that they're righteous. Now again, they're not born again. They don't have the revelation you and I have, and they're doing the best they can. But what it does mean is this, that we can be positioned with him because of faith and righteous. And that's our correctly being positioned with him. But we see all these people. Why? Because it goes back to the scripture we just read about trusting in the Lord. We're seeing here verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Here we go, in the power of his might. These people did not have anything figured out. Well, then in fact, we see here, well, let's just look at the Bible. I just mentioned the three rebellions. We got in the Garden of Eden. We got the fallen angels coming down in Genesis chapter 6. And then we've also, what do we have finally? The Tower of Babel, and that goes haywire, and everything's screwed up. And then what's God say? Forget all of you, but I know a guy named Abram. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start this over, and I'm going to create a covenant with this guy, right? And again, you know, God knows our heart. And he knows the inner parts of man. You know, he pulled in King David because, what? He's a man after God's own heart. We see there, the book of Psalms says. So he starts this covenant because God's just getting to the point where he's like, I'm just, I created them, and then these fallen angels come down and ruin everything, and then I wipe them out, and then we're back at this craziness again, and we got this Tower of Babel, and this is getting ridiculous. And he's finally, fine. Now the plan's going to come to pass, because we see Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, right? Because he said that he's going to, you know, the enemy is going to come and bruise his heel, but I'm going to come through my son, basically, that's my version, and crush his head. And then he comes through this guy named Abram and Sarai. And through them, he cuts a covenant. And he is our spiritual grandpa in the faith, right? Abraham's bosom is what, you know, the Gospels tell us. Where Abraham's bosom or paradise, it's around heaven. And it's the holding, containing area for saints until Christ came in and paid the price, and then whoosh, they all come in to the throne. Are you bored tonight?
No.
Huh? So we see these patterns throughout the Bible. And we go on here. We'll close things up here soon. So again, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And it's not that we rely, and this is my mistake, and I'll tell you my mistake so you don't have to make them, right? And I'm sure you haven't. But, you know, I was so relying on just praying in the Holy Ghost, and I did things, but my emphasis was on praying in the Holy Ghost or reading, and those are great things. But one of the things is, it was almost, I had a mentality that I'm going to pray and God's going to do it. Well, wait a minute here. I've got to put on these spiritual things. I've got to walk in them. I've got to step out in some things. And then he goes on and he says here, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of the peace. Here we go. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Why is this important? Apostle Paul tells us here, why is this important to take on the shield of faith? Well, we find out, number one, that you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. How many felt like some days you just get bombarded with fiery darts from the enemy, right? You just feel like, I'm worn out, God. I don't want to fight anymore, right? Those of us who, you know, have kids, sometimes you're like, okay, God, right? We used to do that when I'd come home from work sometimes and Adrian would be home with the girls when they were little and she goes, okay, I'm out of here. It's your shift. I'm going to Target, you know. Somehow that's the safe haven back in the day, you know. Target's like the, you know, the promised land here. You know, it's like, Target. Sometimes you just want to give up, right? It just hurts sometimes. It's like, you know, just one more diaper to do. Or, you know, my head hurts. I don't want to study one more time. I'm tired of helping with homework. It's like I'm tired of doing this homework. Helping these kids with this homework. Oh my, is there an adoption agency anywhere close? So it just gets uncomfortable. Everything just becomes a pain sometimes, right? I'll admit it. Sometimes I'm just not real super spiritual. You know, you'll hear stuff from my house, shut up and sit down. Oh yeah, you parents to be and all the little kids and everything too. I just think it's so funny. You know, you read all these books, you know, before you have kids and everything, you got it all figured out, and then when the kids come and you're just like, okay, we're ditching this thing and I'm winging half of this stuff, right? So, right. Well, you heard about the new pilot, right? That was, he was gonna fly, and they asked him if he was gonna wing it. Yeah, okay. All right, I'm sorry. I'll work on that. Dad joke. All right. Let me get my dad joke out. So again, here it says, above all, taking the shield of faith. That's why on Rhema there, I love it. It's got the faith shield turning around. You know, it was there for a number of years. It was all broke down. Now it's like, I think they got it fixed. And it's last time we were down there a couple of years ago, it was spinning around. They got that thing. Always turning. It lit up. So cool. But the shield of faith, and that's we're able to quench the fiery darts, right? We don't let thoughts in that go against the word of God. We don't let those things get into us, right? Mm-hmm. Like Brother Hagin said, you know, it's like one thing, you know, birds can fly over, but you don't let it, you know, rest on your head and make a nest on your head, right? Yeah. No, we don't meditate on those things. We get rid of that junk and we just say, you know what? I'm going to, whatever thing is pure, honest, of good report, think on these things. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, sometimes we just need to say some things. We need to just start speaking, commanding some things. Begin to talk to the enemy and say, you are not going to deal with this anymore. I'm not going to deal with you anymore. I just love like speaking the word of God. Did you know, enemy, that Jesus came in the flesh? That's what they hate. I begin to speak how they're defeated and how Jesus died on the cross and healing is for today. And we just experienced earlier. And Jesus is wonderful and he's full of compassion. And, you know, I was just thinking about the other day, we were just talking about some people that don't believe in some of these things that we do. And, you know, it's really sad because you think about healing. Healing in the Gospels, it's an act of compassion for people. And you look at all the times where you'll see compassion next to Jesus healing people is because he was motivated out of compassion. And he wants to heal us because he has compassion for us. And see, when we begin to meditate on those things, that God's not only real, but we meditate on the word because we meditate on his character, right? It's like he wants to help us in business. He wants to heal our bodies. He wants to have a sound mind. He wants to bring good relationships. He wants these things. I mean, how weird is it that I am a parent and we got Burger King drive thru or something? It sounds like it. Oh, here we go. Whee! Healed in, it's healed in Jesus' name. We'll just lay hands on it. But, yeah, so, you know, when we're, so again, take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, and we begin to speak things out, it helps. Amen? And praying always, here we want to get to this close up here, 18, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, prayer and supplication. So supplication is providing a supply. It's providing a supply here in the Spirit. And I think it's very important. You know, we always think of things like, well, we're going to pray in the Spirit. It just, you know, we think we're going to just, you know, motor in tongues. But it's very important to be led by the Spirit. Meaning, you know, what is he saying? What does he want now? Where does he want to go now? What do we need to pray out? We need to pray for people. We need to do this because, again, it's a being led. But like Brother Hagin said, you know, when we're Kenneth Hagin, he said, you know, those who are receive prayer, it's you're thankful. You have a thankful heart because, you know, if you have faith, you're thanking him before you're there, right? And of course, you know, we want our timing like yesterday, right? 5 minutes ago on everything. You know, I'm like that too. I'm like, God, how come this hasn't happened to this what I want? Right? And so, you know, some of us, we're not doing our part and things like that, and we could do more, but often there is a timing. It says, prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto, here we go, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And that's something, too, where we are going to battle. What's that movie that just came out with War something about prayer? The lady that was in her prayer closet? War Room. It's been a while. So, to me, just is like the last 10 years. Whatever. You know, tomatoes, tomatoes, potatoes, potatoes. You know, that's it. Whatever. Yeah. But it just kind of gives you a visualization of someone that is just diehard about praying for things. And again, we want to, Adrian and I, we pray for our girls. You know, I do, you know, we do a lot. Pray for them, and I'm praying for them, and we're doing things. Why? Because we want them to have the God kind of experience in life. Amen? Good things. And I don't remember, I mean, maybe there was when I was younger, but it felt like I was a heathen back then, and it just like, it, you know, and when you look back and you're like, hey, I had mistakes, But I'm going to pray for the next year. I'm going to pray for people. They don't make mistakes, right? I don't have to go through that, you know? And sometimes you always have those people that had a guy that he was an ex-Hells Angel, and we rode motorcycles. Well, I let him use my motorcycle. I came as an evangelist and stuff, and, you know, a lot of people came and they got saved and stuff. But, you know, I don't glorify, you know, that's it. You know, when you look back, and it's almost like there's testimonies and they're bragging about it, or they almost like miss that life. You ever have those people? Listen to those people, you know, like, man, I was doing this and all these drugs and everything, all these friends, a lot of money and everything, but, you know, now I'm, you know, God's good, and you know, it's almost like they want to go back to that. That is shameful. I don't want anything to do with that, right? I don't want anything to do with that. I am happy with Jesus. He brings me peace, right? I don't need to have those things. You know what? I don't have to go through that garbage to experience the goodness of God. I can live, and our children and our next generations, we can have inheritance. They can live righteous, holy lives and not go through maybe some of the heartache or discouragement that maybe some of us went through. And that's the power of prayer. And this is the power of this scripture here, is to get in and say, God, I give my kids to you, Lord. You are going to bring them up in the way they should go. And in fact, we see here, and we'll just turn the page over, you know, Ephesians chapter 6. And I love this scripture, and I love reading this to the girls, to my kids. And it's one of my favorite scriptures, and sometimes they're not in the mood to hear it. And that's okay, because I still like talking about it anyway. And it is, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Verse 4 talks about, and fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. It just means don't provoke them. Don't, you know, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So again, we see here that commandment to children, but then as parents, we're going to see there too that we're going to raise our children up, right? So there's a combination of, we've got to actively raise our children. I mean, I'm a Gen Xer, so, you know, there was no raise anything. We were just kind of did whatever, you know. It's like, well, when it gets dark, come back in, right? You know? Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and that was life back then. I mean, that was just life back then. You know, not that I had any kind of, tragic childhood or anything. It just, that's the way we were, right? I mean, you're on your bike all day long. You're hanging out with your friends. We're playing ball. We're doing, you know, having fun and doing stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're back home. And you know, sometimes we're just, it was not as well monitored sometimes. I'll just say that. And so, this is a great combination, especially for us parents, because, you know, the first part of chapter 6 is telling children they need to obey. And we as fathers, and I would say also mothers, as parents, we do not want to provoke our children to wrath. And then also, too, in verse 18, we can pray for them. So there's the active part of parenting, and then there's also the spiritual part of act. And again, the action part is spiritual. But again, we can give them direction, help them, and then behind the scenes, we're praying for them, and we're lifting them up unto the Lord. And then verse 19, you know, the Apostle Paul talks about his just being bold to be able to preach the gospel. And you know, that's something too that, you know, that's not just for ministers, but that's for us, all of us, that we're going to not only take this armor and what the Apostle Paul tells those at Ephesus, but also we're going to finish up with prayer, and we're going to be bold about it. We're not going to cower down. You know, there's a lot of pressure on people that, you know, well, you know, to believe this and to believe that, and we're finding in schools that there's pressure to, you know, do this or to do that, and we just need to be bold. We don't need to be hateful and mean, but it's just bold. Say, you know what, this is what I believe. This is what the Bible says, and not be afraid of what people think of us. You know, because I just remember sometimes that some of the most profound people in my life don't even have any idea They have no idea to this day. I mean, I think my children's, the lady that did my children's, was my children's pastor. Her husband passed away. He was my baseball coach for a while. But I don't know if she's still alive, but, you know, it wasn't anything fancy, right? Sometimes we may have you remember those old felt boards, you know, and in Sunday school, you'd have the cutout things and the little guys with robes and all the stuff on there. And you're like, here's this. And then, you know, Abraham and Sarah went to here, and then they lift it up and move it over on the other side of the board and felt and all this other stuff, you know. That was big time. You know, that's really cool. But, you know, and once in a while, I was blown away because somebody, there was a puppet one time, and I was like, that is awesome. You know, because we had an old, well, just like this. It was an old Assembly of God church, and it had a basement. It was bigger than this. But then there was the kitchen. You have a door you go through, and then they had the fold-up thing, you know, where people serve and stuff. That went up, and then two puppets popped up. I'm like, this is gnarly. I mean, this is awesome. You know, I thought, this is great, you know. Now all the kids are, I don't want to do that. But I love doing puppets. Adrian and I did children's ministry that, If I could have worked for Jim Henson, that would have been, I mean, I would have been just fine. You know, if I could have played Kermit or something, that would have been great, or Fozzie Bear. But I digress. But we really want to take a responsibility, you know, in our children, and I know that we do. But it's just so good to be able to pray for our kids. But anyway, I was just going to say back to this that, you know, it wasn't anything special. And there's people, and there was a youth pastor that really, you know, kind of turned me on to the things of God too, and gave me just a really fun outlook on some things and some other people throughout the years. And we just don't know how we're going to impact people, right? And, you know, our kids, but, you know, when I hear those people, I hear those pastors, I hear those people, and I still hear their voice. Mm-hmm. And when we speak about things, they're not overbearing, but when we're lovingly speaking to our children, that voice will ring out. And it will, and like the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. When they grow old, they will not depart from the faith. That word does not return void. And we begin to speak it over our children and believe those things. Then from there, we're going to see those seeds produce fruit. Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you so much tonight, Lord Jesus, for your goodness and your mercy. And we are going to be tonight, we are going to be walk in your power and your authority. And we're going to be walk in your might, Lord, tonight. Father, I just pray for just Holy Ghost. Well, Jesus, you said there in John chapter 14, John chapter 16, that the Holy Ghost was our helper, our advocate, our guide, our intercessor. And tonight, Lord, we thank you that you are guiding us, leading us into the passage you've called us to, Lord Jesus, and encouraging us, Lord God, and you're our peace, our comforter, and our joy. And we bless you and we thank you in your name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody. Amen.